Hello there. I'm Joe Burgoyne, host for Options Talk with OIC. You know, options can be a complex product, but we hope today's show will help take away some of the mystique about it. The Options Industry Council was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. So here are a couple ways to stay in touch. You can like the OIC page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_edu, and join our group, OIC, on LinkedIn. Last week, we talked about what it may be like for an investor to put their toe in the options water pool for the first time. Today, we're going to continue our conversation about that very topic. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. Now, I'd like to welcome back Peter Lusk of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. Peter, thanks for returning for the second part of this discussion.
Hey, Joe. Thanks. Really glad to be here.
Now, last week, we talked about what making the first trade might be like. You compared it to the first job. You even compared it to the first kiss. Great analogies. And then we explored some basic steps every investor needs to know in order to get started with that first trade. Today, I'd like to talk about something that the novice trader may or may not take into account, and that is preparing for the unexpected. Now, Peter, can you get this conversation going by talking about how an investor can ready themselves against a situation that they're not expecting?
Well, I think, first of all, an investor needs to understand the rights and the obligations of option contracts. Remember, when I buy an option, I've got a right. And when I sell an option, I don't have any rights, but I've got an obligation to either deliver shares or purchase shares of stock. So with that being said, what I like to teach is to have investors come up with some sort of a spreadsheet, kind of the what-ifs, as if, you know, maybe you're a little league manager and you're telling little Johnny out in right field, hey, Johnny, what happens if that ball comes to you? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to throw that ball? So in other words, if I've got a spreadsheet put together on the different places where this stock might land at expiration.
Two out, men on third?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. What are you going to do? How much are you going to make? How much are you going to lose? When do you want to exit? How do you want to adjust this particular trade? So there's a lot that goes into it. You're pretty much like a field manager in a way.
There is a lot that goes into it. And that sounds like a really good idea in terms of preparing for the unexpected. Now, is there anything else an investor should do in preparation for, you know, putting their toe in the water for the very first time?
Well, I think option education is the first thing, you know. As a kid on a bike, you know, with my paper route money, I started learning about stocks and buy low, sell high kind of thing. But options are a little bit different. They're a little bit more complex. And so I think continued option education is really a plus. And not only that, for me on the trading floor, I mentioned in our first putting the toe in the water that I didn't make any money for several months. But what I did have is I had a lot of friends in other pits, part of my firm, that I was able to ask questions to. So in other words, if you're an individual investor, it might be good to also go through this with somebody else. If you're at a seminar, exchange an email address. You know, somebody might get something first, you might get something second, and you put it all together, collectively, the education process will be a little more streamlined.
More good advice. Now, when it comes to the unexpected, in a way, you talked about using the spreadsheet, but then different option strategies are going to offer different risks. Isn't that right?
That's right.
You want to speak to, you know, some of the exposures that come with different strategies?
Yeah, let's talk about this. You know, the last time we talked about the toe in the water last week, we talked about the covered call. And the covered call was actually selling an out-of-the-money call option against a stock that was just kind of stuck in the mud, not really generating any income. Well, here's what happens with the covered call. First of all, if I sell a call option, I've collected premium, and I've got the obligation to actually sell shares if assigned or called upon to do so. Well, what happens if I have a stock that is trading $50 a share, I decide to sell the 55 strike call as a means of generating income? What happens if the stock goes lower? Okay, let's just say that I sell this 55 strike call for $2. All right, stock is now at 48. That would be my new break-even point because I collected $2 premium for the 55 strike call. But now here's the pitfalls, and this is answering your question. If the stock goes even lower now than 48, what do I have? I've got a major risk in the downside of this stock, significant risk all the way to zero perhaps. But I had that risk anyway initially because I had the stock ownership. But anyway, that is the risk of the covered call. It's the risk in stock ownership.
And so, you know, a combination of using the different option strategies and then applying them possibly to the spreadsheet idea that you talked about would define those various break-even points, I guess, depending on your option strategy.
Absolutely. You know, new option traders have to define what the break-even point is, what their loss or their pain threshold is, because too often they get excited about the possibilities of, dollar signs in their eyes as they put the trade on. And that's not how it is in the real world. Things change all the time. And sometimes stocks can be sympathetic to the market or other stocks in their particular sector. So those are all things you have to be fully aware of.
I want to talk a little bit again about the whole risk component. Let's talk about long option positions and short option positions. How do you quantify, you know, the risk in them?
Great. I'm glad you brought those questions up. Both of them are really good ones. First of all, if I decide I like XYZ stock at 50.
XYZ, yes.
Our favorite stock.
Indeed.
And I want to buy 100 shares. We're not talking about commissions. That would cost me $5,000. But if I decide I still like XYZ stock and now I've expanded my options education, I might decide to purchase a call option. Let's just say that this call option is a 50-strike call option, and it's worth about $3 for example's sake. Options represent 100 shares of stock, and they're priced on a per-share basis. So this option that we would see priced on the OIC platform, okay, would be $3, but it represents 100 shares. So we're talking about an outlay of money of $300 versus $5,000 for the 100 shares of stock. So we're in this game for a lot less capital. And guess what? I could put the balance of that $5,000, which is what, $4,700, into what, a high-bearing money market account?
And get at least a tenth of a percent.
Yeah, you get the joke. All right. So that's that thing. That's one of the trade-offs with purchasing an option. Selling an option is another great question. I'm really glad you brought it up because I'm not a fan of selling naked options.
Why not?
What I mean by that, look, if I sell a call option, I am naked on the upside. I've got unlimited potential loss on the upside. I don't like that. I like to stay in the game. Slow and easy wins the race. This is all about base hits for me. All right. If I decide to sell a put option, what happens? I've got the obligation to actually purchase shares of stock. Well, what if I get assigned and purchase shares of stock? That may be my intent, and I'm okay with that. But if I decide to sell put options as a way of generating some income, and I do get assigned, and I do have to purchase shares of stock, then look out below, perhaps.
Okay.
Significant losses, perhaps, on the downside.
Well, some good explanations there, and a couple things come to mind. One is, the idea of an exit plan, and the other is, talking to your broker and having a relationship with your broker. Why don't you start with a relationship with your broker for the person who is stepping his toe into the water for the very first time?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, how many people even have a broker that's a human these days, So when we talk about relationships with brokers, it's almost like you have to have a relationship with a trading platform. Look, when you put a trade on, you kind of figure that out. But what if you want to take that trade off and possibly buy that option back in to close or sell that option back out to close, okay? You have to have a good relationship with the mechanics of how an option platform works To me, that's really, really important, especially if you want to, execute a trade to react to different things that are going on in the marketplace. You've got to understand how all those components on that platform really work.
Well, we've been around that kind of thing for a long, long time, but the person just getting started may be a little intimidated by an options trading platform or any platform for that matter. Can they call the broker who would then walk them through it? You know, what's the process?
Yeah, there's a phone call you can make, but also what's really handy is most of all the good trading platforms, what they really have is this little chat window. And I, you know, within 10 seconds, somebody will come on and say, "Hey, my name is John. How may I help you? What's your question?" And that little chat window works out really well. Believe me, I've used it because I've got a few different trading platforms, and it's really nice to have that feedback out there. And you can also call. And then you guys got that great number, that 1-888-OPTIONS, which can help with certain questions about trading.
Yeah.
But questions, okay?
The guys on the help desk do a great job. I'm glad you brought that up.
They do.
Let's see. Two more things. The exit plan. Talk to me about the importance of an exit plan for an investor.
Well, again, I think it's all about your pain threshold when it comes to an exit plan. I think that's the most important thing. Now, look, everybody's different. In my pit, and just like Joe, you were in a pit, there was the same old order flow that came in, and it was pretty much what you did with that order flow. Okay, we all did different things, and it was always surprising to me when I was having a good year that someone else wasn't. Now, with that being said, I don't know if you're going to like this answer, Joe, but when I put a trade on, very rarely do I close it out. I put it on for good for the most part, or I might even, and this sounds terrible, I know you're not going to like this either, if I don't like the initial trade, I might even double up on it. If I liked a vertical spread, and we can talk about that another point in time, if the stock fades back, I liked it at a certain price higher up, now I must love it at a certain price lower, which will lower my cost basis.
Indeed it will, and in a way that gets back to the whole risk component of a particular trade, doubling up in some cases might be suicidal, but in other cases, there may be limited risk, and so it may not be a bad thing. So
right.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, if you're already up on the year, you know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest risk in life is not taking one, as far as I'm concerned.
Pete, the last thing I'd like you to talk about is the emotions associated with doing your trade, and really, we're talking about a trade for the very first time. It's a whole different animal to trade theoretically versus having your money on the line. Would you please speak to that and how investors should just deal with that or not?
Yeah, you know, another great question. I mean, who are the investors out there? They're school teachers, they're doctors and lawyers and salesmen and things like that. I mean, could you imagine me standing over looking at an open heart surgery? There's no way. I'd be very emotional. Very emotional. I couldn't face that, you know? I've actually seen some of those on television. Now, with that being said, here's this doctor, this surgeon that can perform this open-heart surgery, and now he puts a trade on. Now, he's getting all emotional in my business, you know? So it does happen.
I hope I'm not on the table.
It's a very emotional business, and that's why when you see the market go down, it goes down with great speed because of the emotions of people out there selling. Where when the market goes up, everybody's happy. Everything seems to be pretty good. But yeah, it's a really, really emotional business.
And I think some investors will be fine with it and others just won't be. And I think getting that toe in the water the first time helps you to know whether it suits you or not.
Exactly.
Excellent, Peter. I want to thank you for your time and your insights. That will just about do it for us. But I hope this two-part series on putting your toe in the water gave you some information that you will find valuable. Peter is one of our OIC instructors, so if you want to hear more from him, look for Peter on the OIC live seminar circuit coming to a town near you. And also, if you ever have any options-related questions, reach out to our call center at 1-888-OPTIONS or log on to our website at www.optionseducation.org. There are a lot of resources and tools on our site that will help you to better understand options. If you have any feedback on the show, please email me at options@theocc.com. Lastly, don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. So you can join us at LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. And remember, a little options education goes a long way.